Okay. Get our next guest in here. I have one question for him.
Only one, and then the mic
well,
is
I
off?
Well, I have two. I have two.
All right, here's our buddy Marcellus Wiley, longtime NFLer from FS1. All right, go ahead. Marcellus is on the line.
Marcellus, if you needed a quarterback in the next 5 years for your team, Baker Mayfield or Jared Goff, who are you taking? Answer it properly.
We've already done
no,
this.
No,
no.
We already did that question.
Okay. I want to revisit it and answer the question properly now. Is your answer the same?
I mean, it's just your style. Like, I like Jared Goff slightly more, but Baker Mayfield has that X factor, those intangibles that could be a higher ceiling but also a lower floor. For my money, if I had to just go out there and line up, I'm taking Jared Goff. He's just a safer bet.
Well, we'll see what Baker does tonight. We'll revisit again every single week.
Yeah,
of the season.
Exactly. He goes for 500 yards tonight. I'm changing my answer.
Right, exactly.
Marcellus, so the two teams that their quarterbacks have injuries, Roethlisberger and Breeze, both those teams, either one of them make the playoffs?
Woo! Pittsburgh certainly... I would bet against them. I don't see that happening. Breeze, I think that they go 500 under Teddy Bridgewater. They got an opportunity against Jacksonville, the Bucks before we get to see Drew Breeze come back. So I think a week of practice as the first team starter is going to do Teddy Bridgewater a lot of good. And just going out there and knowing that you're mentally prepared to be the guy. To be in the game, and I've been there before, second series, and then the starter goes down. This is NFC Championship 2.0 and this redemption game against the Rams. That was a lot on the plate. And I almost felt like the players were post-traumatic stressed. Like everyone collectively looked like they were shell-shocked. Jared Cook couldn't catch any passes anymore, penalties after penalties. They took points off the scoreboard because of a referee blowing the whistle too soon. It was just a collective shell-shocked effort. So I think they recalibrate. It's going to be a tough one on the road up in Seattle, but, hey, I think this team goes 500. They still got football to play, and they make the playoffs.
Yeah, see, this is my concern for New Orleans. I think they're the poster boys of the woe-is-me mentality right now. Mm. And, yes, it's justified. The refs, we know what happened in that NFC title game. They got jobbed. The officiating,
that was a garbage call.
It was garbage. And yesterday, that should have been taken back to the house. They should have been up 10-3 and rolling. But they're already blaming the refs. They're blaming the league. And now their quarterback goes down. I think this is going to be a real challenge for Sean Payton to keep their hopes high, to keep optimism in that room, because I think it's a powder keg to begin with. I think that group in New Orleans, they're waiting to come out and say, it's not our fault. It's somebody else's fault.
Hey, there's a lot of ammunition for that belief that you just stated. You know, you got to be water off a duck's back at a time. You go out there last year in the game, and we know that one call shouldn't dictate a game, but it has happened before if you watch these games closely. So now this year it comes back in that open wound. Once again, you get stabbed in the same place. Football is about compartmentalizing. It's about putting things in their proper place and proper priority. And it does seem like this team collectively lacks in that ability. But those are two of the most egregious calls that I have seen. I certainly have seen worse, but that is tough to know that your Super Bowl chances have been lost because of outside error. And then you come back in a game that you're really trying to go out there and restore your roar, and this happens as well. So tough sledding for the Saints, but still a super talented bunch, and I think they pick themselves up and they get themselves in the playoffs.
With Marcellus Wiley here on Overdrive, TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Lamar Jackson, he did it again over the weekend, just putting up monster numbers, but he did it at Miami and at home against Arizona. Not exactly the 85 Bears and, you know, the early 2000 Baltimore Ravens defenses. That said, I'm not taking anything away from the guy, considering last year he wasn't even really a rookie. He was still fighting for time. Now it's his pocket, it's his huddle, and clearly he's owning it. Are you a believer that this is the real deal with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore?
Yeah, and I was maybe a little early to this belief. Last year, I went to see him play the Chargers. And remember, they played the Chargers twice in like 3 weeks, and they had to see him again in the playoffs and lost. I always knew that Lamar Jackson could play that position. There are times when our minds are wrapped around a package, and we just believe in what we thought in terms of where you were drafted, how you were drafted, and who you were as a prospect. But there are times when you need to release those thoughts because the evidence just supports something different. I knew that he could play the position. His skill level is second to none in terms of mobility and also arm talent. The guy is really skilled for that position. And I just saw a guy last year who wasn't comfortable playing in the NFL, playing that position, but had the talent and the abilities to do it. So I've been in this camp and supporting him for a while now. And this year, obviously, things are different. Greg Roman's your offensive coordinator calling plays, the same offensive coordinator that had Colin Kaepernick and really helped elevate his status. And also had to witness Kaepernick not necessarily have the same success and how to have a 2.0 version of that offense. And we're seeing the results of that. But I'm a big believer in Lamar Jackson. He looks comfortable. It's his team. He's no longer on a team with a Super Bowl winning quarterback making top dollar in Joe Flacco, which sucks a lot of oxygen and confidence out of the room. It's his team now. And we're starting to see the fruits of that belief and of that labor. So I wouldn't second guess him, and I wouldn't undermine him by saying that his competition hasn't been good enough yet. I think he continues to succeed.
Marcellus, do you watch any parts of the Miami games or any highlights? And it's kind of a strong statement, but do you say that's the worst team I've ever seen in my life? Because it's it's kind of close to that, isn't it? I mean, like
-92 point differential in two home games.
It's a disaster
to start the year in Miami.
Yeah, they have a lot working against them. look, I've been on a team before that was 4-12. I was on that team.
I know, but who's worse than that? Like,
it's early, man. It's 2 weeks, but
yeah, okay. It's too early. And even when you have a sorry team, they're not easy to beat. And that's the thing about the league. I don't think that people feel unless they're out there. Like, you still have hell to pay even if you go out there and win a game like they did 43-0 and have two pick sixes and Brady looks like Brady. It's still, quote unquote, a war zone. Like, you still got to go through the trenches. You still got to make these plays. But yeah, collectively, they poached the team of all this veteran talent this offseason. We know that they're rebuilding. We know that they're looking forward to the draft next year. And they don't have a quarterback. I mean, that is a recipe for disaster. So they're out there right now looking lowly, but I wouldn't say that they turn these things around. But I have been on an 0-3 team that end up winning 10 games that same year. In 1999 with the Buffalo Bills, or 98 with the Buffalo Bills. So I don't see them having that kind of turnaround, but certainly it's too early to say this is the 0-16 Lions or even worse than that. Too early.
How you feeling about your 2-0 Bills?
You know what, man? I'm so desensitized. I've been through so much of the ups and downs that I would never let go of my Bills Mafia card, but I'm going to have a wait-and-see approach because if you look at it, a lot can happen going forward. They did get to play the two New York teams, so they're the kings of New York. I give them that. But I don't know if this translates to them getting a playoff berth. Buffalo only once since I was a player in the late 90s have they been a playoff team, man. So I'm just take a wait-and-see approach, but Josh Allen looks good. The team looks very well coached. And now they get to go home, and they have five of the next six games in Buffalo. So they got a chance to load it up and really put some hay in the barn. But it's still Buffalo, man. We got to wait and see on our boys.
Yeah, you don't want to jump to any conclusions. They know better than to do that down in Western New York. But we know Miami's awful. And if New York, if the Jets, who are dealing with a lot of problems, you know, if they lose tonight, they're off to an 0-2 start. New England's in a different universe. The Bills aren't talking about them, but we're talking wild card, basically. And the AFC, you know, outside of Kansas City, New England, I think Baltimore's okay. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams chasing those wild card spots. And as for that Jets team tonight, they're at home against Cleveland. No Sam Darnold. We don't know what's going to happen with Le'Veon Bell. The Browns are massive favorites. They've been talking all offseason. They've been talking all week. If Cleveland loses tonight, how are they possibly going to explain that?
You know, it's interesting, man. You know, they wrote the checks. Now they got to cash them. They talk themselves into this position. I would not let talk get me out of that mental place where I think that I have a great team. And it's funny when, if you've ever been through a firestorm, if you've ever been trending on Twitter or people face backlash, it's really not that bad. I laugh when I hear people say, oh my God, they're killing me, they're crushing me. I'm like, they're just saying stuff that disagrees with you or they don't like you. Like, I understand that we're all human beings and we all want everyone to agree with us and everyone to support us, but it's kind of narcissistic of us to always think that there's no opposition in this world. So there are words, but it's an application. It's a Twitter. You have work to do. And if you start off 0-2, you still have work to do. I can't lose my mental position in thinking that I have a good team and a very talented team, and there's a lot to do. So if they start off 0-2, I hope they don't get too down on themselves, because all it is going to be people like myself and people on television saying bad things about them, which doesn't make one play and doesn't distract you one bit. So hopefully they can keep their eyes on the prize. I would like to see Cleveland play well. I can't lie. I'm rooting for that team because their mental makeup is different. It's non-traditional. And I would love to see that wild card get into a place of success and challenge the established way, like the Patriots way. We'll see how it plays out, but win or lose, brothers, still got 14 more of these to go. I hope they don't get too down on themselves.
Great stuff as always, Marcellus. Enjoy week 3, buddy. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right, guys. Take care, baby.
There's Marcellus Wiley from FS1, a longtime NFLer, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.